Hey, let's see your Bibles tonight. Word. Okay, let's try it one more time. It's word. Word. Yeah, that's better. Pens. Bulletins. Very good. There we go. Let's open up our bulletins to our memory verse. Want to welcome all the visitors from out of town. Welcome to San Diego, where it's hot every day. Psalm 119:9 is our memory verse. Let's read that on three. One, two, three. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. One more time. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. If you're reading through the Bible with us as we're going through the daily walk, and if you're not, you can get a daily walk in the Rock Pile Bookstore. Today is July 1st, so we're starting the book of Proverbs today. And we're going to read through Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon this month. But we just finished Psalms yesterday, and I want to do one more study on Psalms. And it's going to be Psalm 119. So if you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 119. And I was going to do this message anyway, but something I said last week in the message, the response really surprised me. And I made a comment. I don't know, remember exactly what the words were, but it was something to the effect of maybe people don't seek God with their whole heart, as we're going to talk about today, because they're scared to be holy. And I think I asked the question, are you scared to be holy? And the way the room reacted, it was like, it got real quiet, and a couple people went, oh, like, yeah, that's it. We don't want to be holy. It was, I shouldn't say we don't want to be holy, but there was a reaction that kind of surprised me. And I said, hmm. And it's really kind of a profound question if you think about it, because how bad do people, you, really want to be holy? Now, I'm not talking about have a habit of going to church. I'm not talking about read my Bible on a regular basis. How pure do you want your thoughts to be? How pure do you want your actions to be? How close to God do you really want to be? How much do you really want to hear his voice? Because I would bet that most Christians are satisfied with showing up two, three times a month at church, giving God a tip when the plate goes through, reading a little Bible 3-4 days a week maybe, and that's it. But as far as really being right next to God all the time and grieved when you're not and really hearing his voice and really being him being the main thing in your life, I don't know about that. And so as we look at this verse, Psalm 119, we are going to study that. Now, let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It is 172 verses, I believe. And it is 176. Every eight verses focuses on one letter in the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters, so every letter has eight verses attached to it. And the whole psalm is centered on the word of God. We're going to look at the second letter, verses 9 through 16. And it starts with verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? Now, I want you to think about that. How can a young man or young woman purify their way? For you to ask that question to yourself or apply that question to your life, you have to already assume that there's some impure way about you. There's something that's impure. Okay, so for today, I want you to focus. I want you to identify one thing, one issue in your life that you're going to apply these principles to. Now, we all have issues with an S. Amen. If you think you only have an issue, your issue is you're blind. Okay. We all have issues, and I don't know what your issue is. Some people have a cursing issue. Some people have a gossip issue. Some people have a jealousy, a lust, an alcohol, a drug issue, a sex issue, whatever it is. And I want to challenge you to encourage you to pick something simple. Okay? Don't pick your most difficult, you know, schizophrenic 15 personality issue. Pick something simple. Okay? So you can experience victory and then go on to the next issue. But what I want to do is I want to challenge you to pick one issue, because it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? There's one thing in your life that you want to deal with and apply these principles to so God can clean it out of your life. I was driving to church this morning, and the guy in front of me was cut off by another guy. And so they almost hit. And then the guy in front of me backed up. He let the guy over. And then he drove up next to the guy. Now, I knew when he got next to the guy, he was going to do something with his hand. Are you with me? So I'm watching, because I know something's coming. And he does this to the guy. Ooh, that was scary to me. I mean, it's like I was watching a murder. He just did the gun thing, bam, bam, at the dude. Like, yeah, he did that. And I was like, that is deep. You know, back 10 years ago, I don't know if you would ever seen that. You would have seen the other thing. But not, you know, this is the 21st century. We kill. We don't flip people off. We shoot them. So he went bam, bam. And I was like, it was scary. Maybe your issue is anger. Your issue is frustration. Your issue is a short temper. Whatever it is, it's one thing. I want you to identify it. And if you got your notes, write it down. You know, write it down. No one can see it. Okay. Write it down, because we're gonna apply some issues here. Look what it says. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can my crooked way be straight? If you really care, it says by taking heed according to your word. That's what it says. It says by taking heed according to God's word. God's word has the answer to all your issues. Yes, it does. Really does. You have to believe that. It says, by taking heed according to your word. Now, Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. You never want to get a man's opinion. Don't ever ask me my opinion. You don't want to know my opinion. My opinion is irrelevant, really is. You don't want to come to church and hear what I have to say. You want to come to church and hear what God has to say. Hopefully he's speaking through me or whoever else you talk to here. So you want to come to church saying, God, you speak to me through your word, because I have crooked ways that need to be straight. You have to have that kind of heart. So it says here, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Let's be honest. I'm going to take a poll. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. How many people here have ever had a great idea and you just knew you had the answer to some problem or solution, and you were so excited and you were wrong? Okay, great. There is a way that seems right to a man. I got it. I got it. I got it. What does God say? You may be smart. You may have read a book. You may stay at Holiday Inn last night. But in the end, at least a death. Okay? So, again, how can a young man cleanse his way? That is going to be our question we're going to answer. Now, first, before I tell you the four different things you're going to need to do, we're going to look at verse 10, because we're going to look at how we got to do it. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought you, let me not wander from your commandments. With my whole heart. If God is going to do something in your life, you can't seek him with part of your heart. You have to seek him with your whole heart. How many people in here, raise your hand, work out or exercise in any form? Great. How many people in here do not work out or exercise in any form? Okay, great. All you people who don't work out, you should work out. Only because it'll make you feel better. It'll help you deal with stress. And if you don't get hit by a truck, it'll like you'll live longer. Okay? So, but that's just a little side note. But here's my point. If you see people in the gym, and this is especially true in the East Coast, where people come to the gym and they have everything coordinated with what they got on. They got wristbands, headbands, the gloves, the shoes, the matching this. This is mostly in the East Coast, they're not going to work out. They're going to go in there and they're going to go, they're going to lift weights like this. 15 minutes, they'll be gone, right? Because they're not really there to work out. But if you see someone walking around like this, all swelled up, that's hard work. Very rarely will you got a guy like Ricky Henderson who does push-ups every night. He looks like, you know, all sculptured. Very rarely. There was a guy on our team who worked out one day a week. He had 18-inch arms, a little smaller than that, but they were huge, okay? Took you a while to get that. Joseph! He would work out one day, bam, one day a week, bam, 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 and he'd come walking all swelled up. We hated it because he didn't have to, you know, work real hard. But for the most part, if you are going to get in shape, you're going to have to work hard. If you are going to get bigger, stronger, faster, decrease your heart rate, decrease your cholesterol, decrease your blood pressure, lose weight, you're going to have to make sacrifice and you're going to have to be committed, period. The same principle applies with God. If you are going to seek and find God, if you are going to hear and obey God, if you are going to be changed and be used by God, you have to seek him with your whole heart. You can't do it halfway. But in this country, we think we can't, because you know why? Life is so easy here. Well, I'll just read a little Bible. How can a young man cleanse his way? Taking heed to cleanse his word. Okay, got that. I got that. I do that with my whole heart. When I'm not busy, I do it my whole heart. And you know, your word I've hidden in my heart. Yeah, I know a couple of scriptures from when I was a little kid. And blessed. Yeah, okay, great. Oh, praise God. Phew. Give me a break. That's not how we got to do it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent, diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible says in Luke 9:62, Jesus said, no one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is worthy of the kingdom. Okay, God, I'm following you. I'm not following you. I'm following you. I'm not following you. He's like, no. Just go away. When you're ready to be committed, come back. So again, we have to be focused and committed. And the Bible says, with my whole heart have I sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I'm not going to be distracted because I see a pretty girl or a pretty guy or a handsome guy, depending on what you think. And the guy, okay? Or a nice car or a nice job. Okay, God, I'm following you. Oh, I'm distracted. Okay, God, I'm following you. Oh, no. God, I'm following you. I'm following you. You need to put a full court press on holiness. If you saw the Super Bowl last year, the only reason the Ravens were in the Super Bowl is because of their defense. Because they didn't, I don't know if they blitzed every play, but they were doing stuff every play to get people in the backfield of the other team. It was like, we are on the offense. We are coming after you. We're not just defending you. We're coming after you. And obviously, they had the athletes and the coaching to do it. You got to be the same way with your faith. God, I am going to find you. Jacob wrestled all night with an angel, symbolic of prayer. And he wouldn't let the angel go. And the angel said, okay, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. That's what God wants. God wants you to bug him, chase him, pursue him. Don't just, I'll take whatever God, let's pray and God will just. No, seek God with your whole heart. That's what he wants. Come after me. Chase me. I was dealing with counseling a couple, and the husband was messing up, and the wife wanted to get a divorce. And after several sessions, after one session, it was apparent he was messing up. And actually, it was apparent after the first phone call that he was messing up. And I told her, you know what? You need to just step back and let him chase you. Don't chase him anymore. If he doesn't chase you, it's over. He needs to chase you. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he wants you back. Because y'all been through so much, blah, 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 blah. That's what God wants to know. God wants to know, how bad do you want him? Or are you saying to God, God will do something for me and I'll do something for you? You're like the thief on the cross. You're guilty. You're on the cross getting crucified saying, Jesus, if you get me off this cross, I'll follow you. No, you don't bargain when you got a death sentence. You got no leverage. Like Timothy McVeigh. Well, if you don't do this, I'm not going to, No, you have no leverage. You have no leverage. So, again, how can a young man cleanse his way? Well, we're going to look at four things, but before we do it, we got to establish two things. One thing is that you got to seek him with your whole heart, and number two, what we got to establish is I want to challenge you to pick one person that is going to be your partner in this, someone who's going to hold you accountable. It could be your spouse, husband or wife. It could be your son, sister, brother, friend, whoever, but someone who's going to partner with you to help you do these things. Amen? Point number one, first thing you're going to do, look what it says in verse 11. It says, your word, say your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. First thing you have to do is memorize the word. Write that down. Memorize the word. Write that down. I know some of you are thinking, well, I'm memorizing it. No, memorize the word. Write that down. Watch this. It's so easy. Remember, God's word is living and active. Watch this. It speaks to you. It's alive. So when you're over here getting ready to do something wrong, God's word will go, psst, psst, don't do that. Psst, no, 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 no. Don't talk to her. Walk away. Run, Forrest, run. Run. Some guy comes to you, hey, how you doing? You know, he got his shirt all open and show his little bird chest. He's like, hey, hey. And you're like, no, walk away. He's an idiot. Walk away. God's word. Now, can God's word say that to you? In so many ways. Move, go. You go to a party and you get ready to go in the house. I don't feel right. God says, mm-mm-mm. Get back in the car. The more you have God's word in your mind and your heart, he's going to speak to you through his word, because his word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It is able to discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. Open your bulletins up real quick. Watch this. We're going to read this verse together. We're going to memorize it right now. Everyone, please sit up. Just bear with me. Sit up. Take a deep breath. Pronounce your vows. Ready? One, two, three. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Now, this is a question and an answer. So in between the question and the answer, we're going to go, like this. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Let's do it on three. One, two, three. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. One, two, three. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. One, two, three. One more time. Close your eyes. Very good. You see how simple that was? That took 60 seconds. 60 seconds. You cut this little thing out every week. See the little dotted lines around it? Cut it out. Carry it around. And every day, memorize scripture. Imagine if you did one a week. That's 52 a year. 52 a year. Now, once you get in the habit of memorizing scripture, once you get a habit of putting God's word in your mind, you're going to start thinking about, you're going to start memorizing one scripture a week. Then you'll memorize another one, maybe two some weeks. You know what? Every time something comes up, got a question, what does God's word say? Boom. God's word will never lie to you. It will never lie to you. And you have to memorize it, memorize it. That's why whenever, even if it's in addition to a verse, memorize stories like Moses. You can memorize all of Exodus by memorizing and understanding Moses' life. How he was born and put in a basket and adopted by Pharaoh and raised in Pharaoh's home and killed an Egyptian and ran to Midian and was a shepherd for 40 years. And at age 80, went back to confront Pharaoh. And God used him to bring down 10 plagues on the Egyptians. Then he delivered and walked 40 years in the desert. It's a story. Memorize the word and all the miracles and all the trials and the stories. All of a sudden, you start to have in the Bible. One guy asked me a month ago, we were at Golden Hall. He says, how long does it take you to prepare a sermon? I says, well, that one took me 15 years. Because for 15 years, I've been saved reading. For 15 years, I've been studying and praying and memorizing. So it's all of that inside. Just germinating and growing and revealing truth. That's why you got to memorize it. Remember when Eve was in the garden doing whatever she was doing? And the devil called her over. Hey, Eve, come here, girl. I want to talk to you for a minute. How you doing, devil? Eve, what did God say about the fruit from the tree?
Well, he said that we shouldn't touch it or eat it lest we die.
Now, if Eve, the Bible doesn't say anything about touching it, but I'm not going to really dock her any points for that. But if Eve didn't If Eve didn't remember that God told her to stay away from it, she could have said, well, you know, I don't really know. I think we're not supposed to, like, peel it. We're not supposed to pluck it, but if it falls on the ground, I mean, you have what? If the devil's going to challenge you all the time, what does the Bible say? And if you don't know, he will tell you. He will tell you.
Well, can you smoke cigarettes? The Bible doesn't say anything about that.
That's because they didn't have cigarettes, fool. You want to get all technical. What the Bible does say is that the body is the temple of the living God. That's what the Bible does say. And what we know about cigarettes is that they have 42 chemicals in it that cause cancer, much less they will make your breath stink. You might not go to hell, but it doesn't make you smell like you've been there. So it's not that you gotta not smoke. There's more to it than that. Amen? Amen. So if you don't know the word, the devil's going to put the word, his version of it, in your mind and deceive you. That's why you have to know the Bible yourself. You can't depend on somebody else. You have to memorize it. And when you're getting ready to do something wrong, that verse that's in your mind, God's going to call to remembrance. Have you ever been doing something, all of a sudden a verse pops in your mind and you can't remember the verse? Well, God's trying to get you to remember it, but you don't have it memorized. So you're going, oh, the Bible says something, I know it's some principle I'm supposed to be following right now, but I just don't know what it is, so well, I guess I'll go sin then. Got to memorize it. Number two, talk about his word. Please write that down. Talk about his word. Please write that down. Talk about his word. If someone, look at verse 15. With my lips have I have declared all your judgments of your mouth, with my lips. If someone asked you today, what is God doing in your life, what would you say?
Well, what's God doing in my life? Me?
You ever ask somebody a question and then 5 minutes later they are you talking to me? I call my friend's house. His son answers the phone. I say, is your dad home?
Yes.
Oh, would you like to talk to him? Well, I don't want to talk to you. So what's God doing in your life?
My life, God, I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's got to be doing something. Is he teaching you something? Is he changing you? Are you going through a trial? Is it a lesson you're trying to learn?
Oh, man, that's hard.
If you don't know, you definitely ain't going to change. I mean, you don't know? You should be in constant communication with God. You should be, his lessons and what he's teaching you should be on the tip of your tongue, on the forefront of your brain. You should be thinking about it all day. God's teaching me patience.
Oh, God's teaching me patience. There you go. That's a good one. Patience.
Well, how's he teaching you patience?
Well, he's just teaching me patience. I know, because I'm just not patient. And he's teaching me patience.
How is he teaching you patience? How long has he been teaching you patience? What's he teaching you about patience? What's he teaching you about why you're not patient?
I don't know. He's just teaching me patience.
Let me tell you something. If you can't say it, you don't know it. If you can't say it, you don't know it. Some of y'all going to walk out of church today. You'll get right to the front of that door. And someone say, hey, you like that?
Yeah, it was good, huh? Yeah, it was good. We laughed, it was funny, huh?
What did you learn?
Oh, man, I learned a lot.
What?
Well, it was good. It was fun. I learned patience.
I learned that, what was the guy's name again? Oh, yeah, that guy, yeah, in the church's name?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's most people's experience. They don't know. That's sad. And so I had a guy once, one lady said, well, I don't like to go to that church because he doesn't feed me spiritually. Someone else said, no, it's not that he ain't feeding you. You ain't eating what's on the plate. Amen. Here's what we're talking about. How to get your way cleansed. Here's what we're talking about. Seeking God with your whole heart. First thing is memorize the word. Write this down. If you don't write it down, you try to memorize it, you'll forget it by the time you get to the car. And you know whose fault that would be? The preacher's, right? No. Yours. It won't be God's. So what you do is you memorize it, then you talk about it. Get someone in your life that you can talk about the things of God with every day. Instead of talking about Jerry Springer, instead of talking about gossip, instead of talking about your money problems, instead of talking about the news, talk about God. Anybody here who's in business or anybody here who has ever accomplished anything worth talking about in life will tell you that having an idea is not good enough. You have to be able to explain your idea and write it down so simple people can read it and understand. It won't get done. Now, you may get done, but it'll be chaos. But if you are going to do anything that's going to be accomplished, you have to be able to write it down clearly, be able to speak it clearly, to be able to explain it clearly so it can be understood. Same thing with God. Tell me what God is teaching you. God is teaching me this. This. Now I believe that you know it. Because if you just feel good, weed can make you feel good. Alcohol can make you feel good. What's that mean? God is teaching me this. He is changing me from this to this. He told me this. He explained this to me. He revealed this to me. Yes, it needs to be that clear for everybody. Yes, it needs to be that clear. That's why you got to seek him with your whole heart. Because if you can't say those things about your relationship with God, and if his voice is vague to you, and if his communication is vague to you, how are you ever going to do what he tells you? How are you ever going to know what he's trying to teach you? How are you ever going to be moldable and shapeable and functional for him and useful for him? Now, if you're satisfied with just being a Christian, just like everybody else who's not a Christian, but you're a Christian because you prayed a prayer, well, then that's different. But if you want to have your way cleansed, talk about it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says, write the vision clearly that he who reads it may run. We're going to do this. Boom, go. I got it. You have to do that if you're going to ever get anything done for God. So get someone and you could talk to every day. What's God doing in your life? God is doing this. When you wake up in the morning, if you're married, say to the person next to you, okay, honey, oh, baby, can we talk after the crest? one of the funnest things I do and have ever done is go to high schools and do assemblies because heathens are just fun. And I went to this inner city school where one of the fun things about going to inner city school is that they're real good at bagging on you, which means making fun of you. Bagging is an urban colloquialism. But also, people who can bag are baggable. In other words, giving and taking it is all part of life. So, you know, you can bag on people and they laugh at themselves real good. If you get them good, they laugh. So when I go to high schools, I do assemblies. I pick kids out of the crowd. There'll be 1,000, 2,000 kids. I'll pick a kid way in the back and talk about them, tell a story about them, be real funny, embarrass them. But it's a real friendly embarrassment. And so I was at this school in Rochester, New York, and I picked this kid out and talked about his head and all that kind of stuff. And so then I go into the cafeteria at lunchtime to hang out. So I get in the cafeteria and all these kids are in there. And he sees me, and he stands up on the table and says, yo, y'all, it's drilling time. Drilling was their term for bagging or their term for making fun of somebody, okay, or insulting. And he said, we're going to drill Miles. So they all called the whole cafeteria over to this table. I'm talking the whole 100, 200, 300 people, whatever it was. And they surrounded this one table. It was hot and funky. But they were all around this table, 15 kids deep. And they sat me down. They said, we're going to get you. Now, this is all a sign of love. It means I love. When they make fun of you, that means they love you. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, ready to go. Two guys sat in front of me, and they made up a rap about me, making fun of me in the form of a rap. They made fun of my head, my nose, my chin, my clothes, everything. It was hilarious. So we sat there and then, boom, I don't remember any of it, but I was sitting there amazed because it was freestyle rap, and this was 12 years ago. So we're sitting there, and they're rapping all afternoon for lunch. And this one girl was sitting between me and this rapper. And she was loud, just yelling and making noise just to get attention to herself. She had very low self-esteem, very poor self-image. She did. I knew her from previous year, and she just had issues. So she was loud and just ignorant, ignorant. I-G-N-A-T, ignorant. And this guy says, will you shut up? Will you shut up? And he kept telling her shut up, but she wouldn't shut up. So he said to her, your breath smells so bad, I'm scared to swallow. So you would figure she'd just kind of go, oh, man. But she just went, she thought about it, said, okay, started yelling again. So anyway, you wake up in the morning, you say to your honey, honey, what's God doing in your life? Ask your friends, your fellow Christians, what is God doing in your life? Be able to say it. You know what's going to require you? Work. I cannot tell you how many people come to me and say, Miles, I got an idea, I got an idea. You know what I tell them to do? Go write it down. And never see him again. Never see him again. Why? Because it takes work to write it down. Thought, energy, time, and people don't want to do it. People don't want to do it. So talk about it. Next one, think about it. Write down, think about his word. Write down, think about his word. Look what it says in verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. When you're thinking, who are you talking to? Let me think for you. I'm going to think out loud. Okay, what am I going to get to eat? A little Whopper Jr., double-double with cheese and some, no, I don't want that. Made me sick last time. We'll get some spaghetti and some meatball. No, I don't want to get that. They don't have that here. In-N-Out. Let me think. Who am I talking to? Talking to me. I'm talking to me. Now, you know what they, crazy people do that. You ever go downtown? Wow, 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 wow. Wow, 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 wow. Hey, how you doing? Nobody's around. How you doing? I'm going to church. It's on Tuesday. Hello, I'm getting dressed up. They're talking to themselves. They call it crazy. When you think, you are talking to yourself, but think about it. A lot of the questions you're asking yourself, you don't know. That's why you're asking. Y'all didn't understand that, did you? You're asking yourself questions whose answers you don't know. That's why you're asking the question. In other words, if I had a person standing here and say, how do I get downtown? Well, I'm asking him because I don't know. But when I ask myself, I'm saying, Miles, you don't know how to get out of town, so how do you get downtown? I don't know. That's why I'm asking. Have you ever thought about that? What am I going to get? I don't know. That's why you people see people standing there for a long time, because they're asking a question they don't have the answer for. Have you ever thought about it like that? Instead of talking to you, there's a way it seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Instead of talking to yourself when you are already a proven, unknowing person, talk to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a glow, an energy, a force, karma, a light. The Holy Spirit is a he, a person. John 16:13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. As you're meditating on God's word and meditating on the things of God and thinking them in your mind, include him in the conversation. Holy Spirit, what do you think? She's dangerous. Holy Spirit, what do you think? He's bad news. Holy Spirit, what do you think? That's the one. Holy Spirit, what do you think? Don't go in that party. Holy Spirit, what do you think? Don't drink that soda. Holy Spirit, what do you think? Holy Spirit, what do you think? Don't watch those shows anymore. God, you tell me, because I don't want to make those decisions anymore. Why? Because there's a way that seems right to me, but those ways have been messing my life up. That's why I'm in church. So Holy Spirit, you tell me, and the Holy Spirit is never, ever, ever cannot deny the word of God. He's only going to do it. The Holy Spirit came to speak about the word, came to reveal the truth in the word, came to illuminate truth to you. You ever read the Bible, and you're reading, reading, all of a sudden the verse pops out at you, bam, anybody? Yes, that's the Holy Spirit doing that. That is not you. That's the Holy Spirit going, boop. It opens up your understanding. That's what he does. That's his job. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if he did that constantly? I cannot explain in words to you, but I will try, even because it is, I'm just telling you to do that, so I'm going to try as best I can. Over the last month, God has been challenging me. Pray. Seek me with your whole heart. And I have been doing these things like praying and reading and studying more. And he is doing unbelievable things. I can't even count them. All this is done by faith. In other words, you're not going to understand the correlation between memorizing a scripture and getting a job. You're not going to see the correlation between praying and studying and getting over being depressed for 15 years. You're not going to see the correlation between going to church and taking notes and then asking yourself what the notes mean when you get in the car to review it and applying it all week to being happy. You may not see the correlation. But what you have to see the correlation is that God said it, and by faith you obey and watch God do supernatural things. And it is your responsibility to open up your eyes and pay attention to what God is doing. I'm reading this book on spirit-empowered preaching, and the chapter I just started, in the next two chapters, by the way, this chapter, next chapter, is all about the congregation's responsibility in the sermon. Ooh. It even says, if you even say this to anybody, they're going to think it's a ridiculous comment. But what is your responsibility in this sermon? You have a role. You're supposed to laugh on time. That's not one of them. Your responsibility in the sermon. Well, let me back up. I study. I write. I study. I pray. I read. I structure. I practice. And then I come on Sunday ready for God to speak to you. Your job is to come to church with an open heart, ready to receive. If you come with that tone, yeah, man, go ahead, talk. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I tried that already, and oh, he don't know nothing. He never had no problem. Yeah. I get emails like that. You don't know anything. Oh, you never had any problems. What are you going to learn? Nothing. Your attitude is this: God, hit me with something hard, change me, because I just can't do it. No, your attitude's got to be like, God, I'm looking for you. Matter of fact, that brings me to the next point. Look at the next one, verse 16. You have to delight in the word. Write that word. That's number four, right? Delight yourself in his word. Delight yourself in his word. Delight yourself. What does that mean? You know when you go to Starbucks and you get ready to get a frappa latte mocha cucaracha frappa pollo loco grande? Do you know what I'm talking about? You stand in line, and the line is going slow, and then you get up to the line and say, I want a frappa mocha chocolaca loca laca laca grande with some cinnamon. Then they, and you're like, oh, I can't wait to get this thing. You get the long cup of the straw, and you sit down, and you go, I was talking to a young lady out church, right out there in the lobby last week, and I said, what do you do? She said, I work at Starbucks. And everybody around me went, I was like, what, I got benefits? What's the big deal? I mean, people were just like, taken back. You work, oh, not fair. You work at Starbucks. It's like she knew Mr. Buck. I don't know. You know what? We just want it. You know what the Bible says? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. When you get up in the morning, God, what do you got for me today? God, are you going to talk to me today? What's your word say? Come on, God. Proverbs, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's 31 days in the longest month. The reason God gave us Proverbs is to teach us wisdom. We all need wisdom. So whatever date it is, read that proverb. Get wisdom. Yeah, do it for lunch every day. Do your devotion in the morning. Do lunchtime Proverbs. Give me some wisdom, God. Bam! Wow. I got it. That's my wisdom for today. That's my wisdom. You know, there's a proverb. It says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Then the next verse says, don't answer a fool. No. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. They contradict each other. Basically, what God's saying is sometimes you need to correct people, and sometimes you need to walk away because they're so angry and they ain't going to get it anyway. That's what he's saying. Okay, God, show me which one, because this dude is working my nerves. Wisdom. Wisdom. You got to delight in that stuff and say, okay, God, speak to me. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. Don't even answer. That's what the Bible says. And so what you need to do is you need to delight yourself in the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 through 3, he tells Ezekiel, eat the scroll, eat the word. And it was like honey. He's going, took the Bible. And it was like honey. I have oatmeal for breakfast 6 days a week. Real boring. Oatmeal. I just want to be a regular pastor. Dunno. Some of y'all didn't get that. Okay. Ask the people who are laughing when you walk out. But I have oatmeal, raisins, cinnamon, and syrup. Syrup. Sugar's not good, so I used to do it with honey, but honey was too expensive, so I got this big old thing of syrup. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Bloop, 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 bloop. Now stir it up, and it makes it all sweet. And then it's hot, too. God's word. You need to get up in the morning, and it's like honey, like syrup. It's teaching you, guiding you, directing you. You need to memorize his word. Boom. You need to talk about his word. Boom. You need to think about his word. Boom. And you need to delight yourself in his word. Boom. And you need to do it with your whole heart. If you do that, your crooked ways are going to be straight. Your deviant thoughts are going to be purified. Your friends that no good, they're going to disappear. TV shows, TV's going to cut off. Your reading is going to change. Your music is going to change. Your path is going to change. And guess what? You're going to be back going in the direction that God wants you to go. And next thing you know, you're going to find yourself where he wants you to be, doing what he wants you to do, doing what he's called and gifted you to do. And you're going to wonder, how could it ever be so good? I have so many times in my life thought it can never get any better than this. And God very gently says, you're insulting me. You just insulted me. Oh, man, oh, God. Yeah, you think that's all I can do? You haven't even seen but the edge of my robe. Oh, baby, Bubba. You haven't seen anything. That's why you got to walk with me for years to know what I'm talking about in that book. Walk with me for years to understand faith, understand power. Power. We're going to take communion in a minute, and I want to challenge you that you would identify this one area in your life and surrender it to God this week and apply these principles to God, to those things, and let God change you. And the reason I want you to pick one area, because I want you to be able to say next Sunday, I changed. I changed. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We pray as we take communion, we will remember how you apply these principles and many more in your life every day when you were here for 33 years. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. I pray you change us, transform us into your image. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We're going to give you a cup and, oh, here they come, and a piece of bread, cracker. Just hold on until you get both. And as they're coming forward, I want to challenge all of you for the crusade. Be thinking about someone you could bring to the crusade for a couple reasons. One, the crusade's purpose is to present the gospel, obviously. We are going to have a great time. We're going to have fireworks. The fireworks are going to be right over your head. They're going to literally be falling on us. It's going to be unbelievable. So bring a fireproof hat. But we're also going to give everybody that comes this little CD. It looks like this. And on the CD is I'm explaining the gospel, explaining what to do after you get saved. Obviously, they can get to our webpage and stuff. But it's to encourage everybody that comes in the gospel. And you can pass this to your friends and get saved. We're going to print 20,000 of these things. But I want to challenge you to take advantage of the holiday. Everyone's going somewhere on 4th of July to see fireworks. They will never be closer to fireworks than ever in their life than this. And see a great show, hear the gospel, and get them saved. Be praying that you would be used in someone's life to get them saved. Amen? So let's sing real quick and we'll...